ASAP, the After Synergy Application Podcast. It has been a long summer, but we are back at it. Back at it here with my friend Lexis as our fresh guest. Man, how good was it to be back in the hut, back on our own turf, not at Southland anymore?
It was so amazing. Like, seriously, I think I almost cried 17 times. And it just made me remember, like, my first time coming to Synergy as a freshman in the fall of 2015 and literally coming in and being like, whoa, this place could probably be my home.
Yeah.
And then now, like, that's happening for freshmen right now, which was so cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I got an opportunity to sit with a guy who was coming to Synergy for the first time. And I think just, like, the first Synergy, I just even put myself in those shoes of, like, you know, man, there are just so many people here who are hearing things for the first time. And just you kind of even just, like, see it through that lens. And I really thought Brian did a really awesome job of bringing a message that, I don't know, I think spoke a word to people, whether it was their first time or it was their, you know, 100th time in the Synergy.
So. Yeah. I mean, Brian could have easily just taken the easy route and been like, let's just do something that, like, is really accessible. Like, people just, like, it'll make them feel good and they can leave and just, like, really go on, like, a high, which I think that probably still happened. But I think that he brought a challenging word too, which was really awesome. And I wasn't surprised by it, but I also was just like, that was really refreshing.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm really excited to see even where, like, you know, David and Fred take it from here with this whole kind of idea of, like, a better story. I think even Brian did a good job of calling out kind of at the beginning, even, like, I don't think maybe many of us even think about that, like, we're being told a story by the world when he kind of lays out, like, you know, hey, here is, like, what the world's telling you. You know, you're at college because it told you, you know, get a degree, to get a job, to get money, to find happiness. And I liked how he kind of just made those directly opposed to each other of, like, hey, here's the world's story and here's what Jesus says.
Yeah. I think too, like, so easily we think that we need to look like everyone else. Like, I think it's really easy to get caught up in the comparison game and be like, oh gosh, like, this is what people on campus are doing, so, like, I need to do that. Especially as a freshman, like, you're coming in, like, you really want to be accepted. But, like, I was literally reading in John the other day. I'm going through John right now in my personal time with the Lord. And it was like, the world should hate you.
Yeah.
If you are with me, like, because the world hated me first. So if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And so even today, like, Brian talking about this, I was like, this is literally an extension of what I was learning in my personal time with the Lord.
Funny how those things line up sometimes.
Truly.
Yeah. And I think that even just, like, I don't know, when he lays it out like that and he's like, you know, hey, maybe we should, you know, like, anything else that you know, you want to know how it works, you consult the person who made it or someone who's an expert in it. And yet even, you know, when we think about our own lives and when we're in these points of, you know, transition in our lives that college can be and even post-college can be, I think that we so often think that, you know, we're the ones at the wheel, it's our lives, we know what's going on, but
yeah,
we don't really, really consult the Creator a whole lot. And so I thought that was even a good point that Brian kind of tied that back.
Yeah. I also really just like the sailboat that he showed on screen. That one was really, really cool. And like the quote that he showed, I don't like remember how, do you remember how it goes?
No, but basically like if you want to, okay, so let's see. There was like the little boat and just, you know, the little cute little drawing. But the quote was like, if you want to have someone build a ship, you shouldn't like collect a bunch of wood, but you should like teach them to like desire the expansiveness of the ocean or something like that.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's good.
And it was kind of just like to build that point of like, you know, following Jesus isn't just, you know, checking off a bunch of boxes.
Right.
Which I think is like probably how, you know, a lot of people view it who haven't grown up in church or who have grown up in church. And that's kind of where I think the fatigue comes in. But it's like, man, I even like when I heard that, I was like, I need to hear that. Because it's so easy, especially like even when you're in it and you're, you know, so caught up in like disciplines and whatnot. It's just like, you know, no, what I should be longing for is more of a relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long, you know, for the deepness of his love and not to just check something off a list.
Yeah. I even think about like our whole entire ministry has just gotten through kickoff week. And so staff and student leaders and everyone who's on discipleship has just served for a literal entire week.
Yeah.
And we're tired, truly. Like it's been a lot of work. And I think that there are definitely a lot of times during the past week where I just got caught up in the details and I kind of forgot what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so like, even to just remember that, like, when we are in this and we're doing these things that we've planned for, you know, the whole entire summer, and we're doing our programming and, you know, hanging out with students, it's not really about making sure that the trash gets taken out or making sure that the food lines are set up. Like, that obviously is important, but like, it really is about those personal connections that you make with people. And the way that you love the Lord and your eyes are locked on Him is going to make people want to look at what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And so I just felt challenged tonight.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to go out to sea, then, you know, it's going to be hard to recruit a bunch of other people to go out there with you, right?
Truly.
Truly. To extend the metaphor. Cool. Well, what else popped out? What would you say, maybe was kind of the biggest thing that stood out to you? Or maybe you've already hit on it and just want to hit on it again.
Yeah. I think, that scripture that he shared from John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I just think about how revolutionary that would have been to hear when Jesus spoke it to people. Because this is happening like in scripture when he's talking about Jesus is like, I am the good shepherd and I take care of my sheep. So it was just really interesting that he would say like that you could have life and have it abundantly, because that is what people thought that they had. They thought that they had abundant life because they were living according to Jewish scripture. Like, that was all they really needed to do. That's what they've been taught their whole entire life. Like, this is how you have abundant life. And Jesus is like, actually, no, that's not how. Like, you have abundant life by being with me, the good shepherd. So
I love that. I think that even Brian did a good job of kind of even laying the backdrop before that verse of like, you even need to have a good definition of like what Jesus is talking about when he says abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Brian talked about a lot. I think probably my favorite thing that he said was, Jesus doesn't care about your short-term happiness. He cares about your long-term joy. I thought that was just a really good reminder of like, when Jesus is talking about abundant life, he's not talking about like what's most satisfying or gratifying in the moment. He's talking about like what is, you know, what fulfills the deepest longings of your being. You know, he knows you better than you even know yourself, and what's going to bring you true life and abundant life. And so in some ways it's like we have to even ask him, like, Jesus, what do you mean by abundant life? Because we don't really know the definition of that.
Yeah.
We think we do.
Right.
And that's kind of where we get in trouble.
Yeah. But yeah, truly. I mean, and when you choose these things that feel like abundant life, like, I loved that he got real and he was like, honestly, sin is fun. Like, and it is like in the moment, it's like kind of exhilarating. Like, you feel like a rebel, like, okay, like I've done this thing and it's like really fun and I'm having a good time. But then you get into like the repercussions of it or like just the aftermath and you're like, whoa, how did I get here? Yeah. You know? And so, what seemed like it was like this like really inviting path ends up being like this path, like with like thorns and briars. And you're like, whoa, I did not know this is what that initial decision was going to be getting me into. But like, Jesus is always in the long game.
Yeah.
Like every single time, he always knows like what's ahead, and we can only see like what's right in front of our faces. And so learning how to trust someone else who knows what the long game looks like and having to trust that he knows better than I do is so hard, because I want to hold on to the control that I have, you know?
For sure. And in some ways, I don't even think that our minds are like conditioned to play the long game. And I've even felt this myself, you know, at the beginning of this semester. And I think for all of us who are, our schedules kind of flow with like the school year calendar, like we're setting our rhythms now for what our semester is going to look like, for what our year is going to look like. And I think this is such a timely word because especially for freshmen, but even for sophomores through seniors, like you're setting those rhythms for what your next year is going to look like, for freshmen, for what your next 4 years are going to look like. And so it's really easy to say like, what's best for me in this moment right now, and not think so much about the repercussions down the road. And sometimes you don't even realize that until, you know, sophomore year, junior year, kind of even down the road.
Yeah. I even think like people probably don't think about this immediately, but seniors really need to listen to this word, because like, I remember my senior year, it was hard to keep coming around. Like, you just like your friends stop coming around a little bit. Then like, it becomes easier. Like, let's just hang out instead of going to Synergy, and like, let's not go to core group. And you just kind of keep slipping by just making these little tiny decisions here and there. Yeah. And like, it is so easy to just kind of check out your senior year. But like, honestly, like, knowing that the little decisions that you're making every single day are creating you into the person that you are.
Yeah.
And that like, when you choose not to be here, like, that actually has repercussions that will play out eventually.
Right. I think it, because like that post-college season can feel like such like a hard stop, like this is something different. I don't think we can see like the trickle down effects of that. Right. Like, I mean, like, it's, you're setting habits that will carry with you beyond college.
Yeah.
Even to be like, you know, what kind of, you know, person am I going to be at work? What kind of, you know, spouse am I going to be? What kind of parent am I going to be? Like, those things are being set now. And so I think the gravity of this moment, I don't know, shouldn't be lost on us.
Yeah.
Our so this wise, is a wake-up call.
Our wise CSF sage, Gene Parr, he says, in college, you make your habits. After college, your habits make you.
Scary stuff.
Yikes. But it's true. Like, there are things that I started doing in college, like my time with the Lord and being committed to community, that if I hadn't started those in college, it would be really hard to say that I was committed to those things after college.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously a word for everyone in the building tonight.
Truly.
We've discovered. What would you say? I don't know. So you're headed home. It's maybe the day after you're listening to this. What practical advice, what practical take homes would you say from Brian's message?
I think just being committed. That's the word that keeps coming to mind. Like, committed to community. So committed to coming around CSF and just being in the building and hanging out with people and making connections and, you know, being around the people who are going to push you toward the Lord.
Yeah.
But also being committed to your time with the Lord personally. Like, it's, you know, nothing's built in a day. And so that committed, like, coming back every single day mentality of, I'm going to come back and receive the manna for today.
Yeah.
Like, I think just commitment.
For sure. Yeah. I think mine is a similar thing. I think the first thing I would say is even just, buckle up, because this is just like, this is the first of, what's going to be, I think, a really hard hitting series. I'm really excited that we're starting here. But even taking some time to think through, like, what are the stories that I'm buying into?
Mm.
What, you know, stories from the world, what, you know, stories have I heard growing up? And, even asking the question, like, what is the story that Jesus has for my life? Regardless of whether you even feel like you're in a place to, like, take him up on it yet or not, I think it's at least worth, hearing it out. Maybe you don't even believe that, like, Jesus is the creator, but at least, I love what Brian said of, like, hang with us for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just like, hang out for this series.
Mm-hmm.
And just see if Jesus really does have a better story. Because I think that's what we're going to get into. And then I would say if you're in a place where you already have a relationship with the Lord, or maybe you don't, thinking about, like, what are the decisions I can make now? Maybe forego some of the, like, momentary happiness. Like, what's going to set me up for long-term joy this semester? And you may not know that answer, and so that may just even be a question that you bring before the Lord.
Yeah.
But I think where I connect with you on, like, the committed piece is, like, you got to fight for that.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to find out what his story is, you got to unplug from the story the world's telling you.
Yeah.
And really plug in and you know, go out to sea, I guess, so to speak, with the Lord, and just really see what he has to offer. And I think sometimes that's just really fighting for that time when the instant gratification, you know, maybe says you want to do something else, but knowing that what's most fruitful for the here and now, and also for the long term, is probably to see what he has in store for this coming year.
That's good.
Well, cool. Just to give you all a little peek behind the scenes, this is the first time we've actually recorded the ASAP on the same night. So you're getting fresh.
Kind of crazy. Hot
straight off the dome, but this is one of the perks of being back here at the Lewis House. Thank you for listening. We hope this has been helpful, and we can't wait to see you back for week 2 of Synergy next week. Lexus, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. See you guys later.